Good evening, everyone. I say everyone. We are four, I assume.
Yes, we
excellent.
Are.
Welcome to this meeting of Exmouth Town Council Planning Committee on Monday, the 26th of February, 2024. Just in case you've forgotten that bit. Item number one on the agenda is apologies for absence, and we have those from Andy Woodward, David Paul, and Cherry Nicholas.
Does anybody have any more from anybody?
I normally get one from Andrew Coleman.
Is he on that
side,
isn't he?
But I'm just saying, I've tried to be in communication today, but
yeah.
I haven't heard
yeah,
that.
No, sometimes they text me and I haven't
yeah.
Okay. We have no public speakers?
Nope.
So we will move to item number two, the minutes of the meeting held on the 12th of February 2024. Does anybody have anything they wish to say regarding those minutes? I will propose them from the chair. Do I have a second?
James wasn't there, so we've got to have some.
Thank you very much.
And Councillor Van Deasy will say
well, I'll second them to you, I suppose.
With the word on the slide on the first for the record, Councillor Andrew Coleman. So we have a proposal and a second vote for accepting those minutes. All those in favour? Thank you very much. So they are noted. I will sign them with it. Item number three, declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations. Does anybody have any declarations of interest today?
No. I'll
be told if I do.
Sorry?
I'll be told if I do.
Yeah. And of course, if you think of any as we go through and you realise you have, just let me know. Item number four is urgent business. There isn't any. What I would like to say, just really, really briefly, is I understand the desire of the committee to look at planning applications with a view to South West Water and the impact that is having, that new applications are having in, you know, with regards to their infrastructure at the moment and all the problems that are going on. And I do know that, as you may or may not know, East Devon did declare that they were very unhappy indeed
yes.
with South West Water last week. One
no
of the things
indeed.
That's right, no confidence. More than unhappy. No confidence at all. They are. One of the things they're asking is for, you know, is for sort of pressing for legislation whereby it's easier. I think I'm right in saying it's easier for councils to refuse planning applications on the ground, or delay them on the grounds that a water connection can't be, yeah, a sewage connection can't be guaranteed without causing more environmental harm. As of yet, you know, that's not a thing yet, unfortunately. So we have to carry on as we were. So just so that we don't. With every application, talk about sewage. Unfortunately, it's a given at the moment, but as soon as it isn't, we'll have a field day, I'm sure. So just to note that.
Why is that?
Because at this point, it's not something we can. It's not something that's easily achievable. If South West is still the situation is if South West will say they can accept a connection. Then they will. And as things stand at the moment, they've not said our infrastructure can't cope, even though we have quite a lot of evidence to the contrary. So we're looking to, you know, one of the things that would be great is if there was some pressure from our MPs to change the law on that. But as things stand, we can note it, but we can do no more. Okay? And I know it's... Yeah. No, I know it's not okay, but it is where we are, you know, in terms of the planning process. That's right.
Yeah, they can't South West Water can't lawfully refuse a connection. They can put a Grampian condition on applications themselves, whereby they can forestall the commencement of a development until such times as they have upgraded the infrastructure that they need. But if they refute that, you know, there's a problem with capacity in the first place, and in the context of them not lawfully being allowed to refuse a connection, the scope for you to refuse an application is non-existent. There needs to be a legislative change.
And effectively, that's what East Devon were asking for last week. One of the things, as well as expressing their lack of confidence. Okay, so I know it's not right. You know, I think we all agree. But unfortunately, that is where we are. But I just thought I'd say that now, so that, yeah, great.
Yes, I'm sorry. But one thing that's creating the problems and is water runoff, which is putting overload on the CSOs. And do we not, or not us, but do East Devon planners have to be satisfied that there are sufficient facility for
sub-schemes, yeah.
Now, isn't one ploy to say, well, actually, the sewage might be able to cope without runoff, which we can't argue at the moment.
But all developments
With runoff.
All developments above a certain size have to have sud schemes.
And those, but fine, so, but that's a criteria we could use in a sense. And then say, look, are we satisfied there is sufficient capability in the system to cope with severe weather runoff and sewage?
Yes.
Because it's the runoff bit, if you like. Now, I know they're addressing it, I know they're putting in the separation, but it's not there yet. Mm. So I just wondered in planning terms whether that is or not an argument.
Yeah, and you'll see that quite a lot of applications do come through with sub-schemes in them. So Goodmoors has got extensive sub-schemes, you know, attenuation tanks and all sorts. Plum Park did as well, so
So a lot of the larger developments. On the individual houses, you see the comments about
Yeah, which is
preferred to go to the ground.
Which is ironic, isn't it? Because the individual houses don't really contribute very well with the fixed schemes. But as you say, if they're putting their own mitigation in, that's good, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Oh, sorry, Ben, go on.
I was just going to say the same issue that we had before with Sandy Bay, the cumulative thing.
Yeah.
Where does the cumulative cut-off come?
Yes.
You know, which is always an issue. Okay, one house on its own, not very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Still struggling to understand why it is that we have to agree to development that's going to end up with sewage on the sea. I'm sorry. Why is that?
Morally, environmentally, I completely agree. Unfortunately, that's the way the law is at the minute, and that's what's wrong. That's what it is.
Planners are not allowed to do it.
The law needs to be changed.
Yeah, and that's what A7 have asked for. Right, so we now move to tree and advertising consent applications. Planning application 23-2684 tree, 46 Canterbury Way. So Brixington members here, we have one. So what do you propose we do with this? Because we don't yet have the tree officer's report.
Can we defer it to the ward members, please?
Is that okay?
Do it offline.
Tree officer's report.
Well, if we share the tree officer's report with you when we get it, and then you can confirm that you're happy to go with the tree officer.
Thank you.
Is that okay? And we'll send it to the other.
Yeah.
The other. And I'm delighted to hear that planning application 23-2693. 68 Evergreen Close, Mr. Wells. Also, we don't have the tree officer's report, and that's again in Brixington. So we will do the same. So you'll have two to look at, if that's okay, Andrew.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
The
tree officer, they're on holidays, I think.
That might be the case, yeah. Because there's one, isn't there? Is there one?
We've got one tree officer's report, yeah.
No, but there's tree one tree officer. Or is there three?
I think there might be three.
Yeah,
there's three tree officers.
I think there might be three, yeah.
Treasury of nine, yeah.
Thank you.
That's all.
I think there comes tree form tomorrow.
Okay.
I think they're all attending.
Can you ask me to worry about this one? Thank you. Only joking. So now we move to Horsden. Planning application 24086 tree. 17 Highbury Park from a Mr. Bones. Proposal for tree one is a poplar to reduce by approximately 10 metres and reshape to leave a natural form. The tree officer's report has been circulated on this one, and their recommendation was refusal. Councillor Tindall.
Thank you very much, Chair. Yeah, I mean, cutting 10 metres of a 20-metre tree seems radical, to say the least, and he points out that it does have a good amenity value where it's situated, and I would go along with his report.
Okay. Anybody else? Yes, I'll do. Oh, of course, yes, sorry.
I agree with that. It goes far too far.
Okay, so we have a proposer and a seconder for refusal. As per the tree officer's report, all those in favour of refusal? Thank you very much, folks. So we now move to planning applications. And Andrew, in Brittington, you have none.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, you're here, but you know. So now we move to our overworked Holston councillors. Planning application 240201 full, 99 Byron Way. Is this for a loft dormer with a rear facing window and is retrospective? We have no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. This is excellent neighbourhood plan policy EB2, whereby new development should be mindful of surrounding building styles and ensure a high level of design as exemplified in the Avenue's design statement. Councillor Andrew Corbyn.
I was going to say no objection, but I'd like to see how it's, how it affects the neighbouring properties.
Can you bring up Google Maps?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't commented, so to a certain extent you can assume they're okay with it.
But it's been there a long time.
Has it?
2015, I think.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. Nice group.
Shall we get some answers in done for a while? And Ron's just getting that
up. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Quite difficult
Thanks,
to
Jen.
See,
but
I it's the
end
property there.
Yeah. I hadn't realised how long it had been there, actually. Is there some sort of statute of limitations whereby after a certain number of years things...
I think it's still 20 years, isn't
it's
it?
20 years.
I think
yeah.
So.
Yeah, okay.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, most of the development, if you put the picture up again, Rons, if you would, it's the end one there, far end one. And most of the development, it's one of these very big dormers that almost goes across the property, is round the back.
Mm-hmm.
So its effect on the frontage and all the rest of it is almost nil, I'd say. But if you look at it in terms of how different it is and how it actually interrupts the row of terraces that it's in. And I've looked at some of the other terraces and I don't see dormers up Byron Way. And from that point of view, even though there are no neighbour objections, I would say from an EB2 point of view, it doesn't meet the criteria for EB2. And I would therefore really object, but I can see the issue of it's been there 9 years, you know, the difficulty with it.
So you are proposing?
I'm proposing objection.
Yeah. Councillor Andrew Tor, having seen that, although that's the other side of the property, and heard what Councillor Dunbar says, what do you think?
I can't really say that objection be sustainable, so unfortunately, I have to say no, but no objection.
Okay. Does anybody else have any comments at all?
Can we put Google Earth on there so we can see around the back?
This is Google Earth. Or Google
yeah,
Earth.
That's private streets.
Ah, yeah.
I've just Googled it, and I think it might be now 10 years.
Ah, yes.
We were discussing today, why would someone put in a retrospective application? So, and I said I have been aware in the past of people who are planning on putting their property on the market.
And it
actually happened to me when I was buying a house. The lady that lived in my house before had had some works done without planning approval. And because she knew it was going to come up in the searches, she applied for planning permission at the time that we were sort of, you know, about to put an offer in for the property, because she wanted to make it legally compliant, because she knew otherwise it would come up in the searches.
And if I could just add then to that, when I went up there this evening and looked at the property, there was a board outside saying sold.
Right.
Now, I didn't go up to it to see whether it was sold subject to contract or not, but it, you know,
so it
you
may
know
be
how
that
they
it's
are.
Come up in the searches then.
That's why
yeah, and that's why they've had to put in. Because it may be that, the solicitors have said unless they can establish planning permission.
Of course.
Let's hope it is subject to contract then. Can we zoom in?
Don't know if it'll show up very well. It doesn't really show, does it?
Is that the... Is it the right
bit?
I'm guessing, but they had this extension done in 2015, and I think probably the dormer was overlooked because a lot of it is permitted development dormers.
Right.
But they've clearly come to a scenario where it's gone on the market and realised that actually that wasn't permitted development. And so I think all this work was done at the same time. So this is the extension and there's a dormer there, but you can't really see, to be honest.
So from the back, though, can you zoom out a fraction? See who's actually looking at it.
So you say that if it was
behind,
but that single story,
it's a single story extension. And this dormer on the second floor, the first floor, above it.
Can I just ask? You say that it wasn't permitted, that wouldn't have come under permitted development then. Would it come under permitted development now?
Well, I'm assuming not. No, that's why they're having
not
to.
The dormers,
It. I don't. The criteria is quite tight for permitted development on dormers.
Okay. Does anybody? So we have a proposer for and a proposer against. Does anybody have any strong views and would like to back either of those horses? I'm not calling you horses, but because otherwise we'll just pick one and put it to vote.
I would like to see. It's really causing any significant harm.
I'll
second that.
Okay. So we have a proposer and a seconder for no objection. All those in favour of no objection? I think I am, sorry, Tim. And all those against? All those against? So we have an objection. Your point about EP2 is noted. And I can agree on that. Okay, it's tricky one, isn't it? Right, so next one is planning application 2402414, to Holston Avenue for a proposed dwelling. There are no comments of statutory consultees, no representations. And this again is Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2. Councillor Tim Dunbar.
Thank you, Joe. Yes, I've actually been approached by the next door neighbour, 2A, who I think is going to put in an objection by the deadline for district. He did indicate that he might want to come down and speak to it. But I said, well, I'm not sure that it was really necessary. And of course, as you know, Mr. So-and-so, you do know the district takes the decision anyway. The problem from his point of view is that there is a very narrow strip in which, right up against his fence, which is going to be built above his fence, and he's in a bungalow and this is a house, and so it's going to cut out one of his downstairs room, his bedroom in fact, his bedroom's light totally. The other thing to say about it is if we look at the design, the elevations, we find that although on there the architect's drawings and their design and access statement, they have said, well, all this part of Alston Avenue has all kinds of buildings in it, detached, semis, bungalows, etc., etc., which it does. And therefore, what they're planning to put up, which is quite modernistic in design, is that would contemporary, I think is the word they use, they say it would fit in very well. Now, I would contest that. So I think in terms of EB2, the street scene and mindfulness of that, and the D1 at local plan level, plus depriving the neighbour of the amenity and light and all the rest of it, I think grounds for objection.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Dunford. Councillor Andrew Toy.
Yes, I'm going to agree with my fellow ward councillor on this occasion. Yes, it's very, very cramped. It fits in. I don't see how you could fit anything in that little space. And it's about impact on the neighbour, so I say we should object.
It's a funny shape, too.
So we have a proposal and a seconder for objection on the grounds of. Oh, sorry, did somebody else want to say
something? No, sorry.
On the grounds of it doesn't fit with the street scene, and also there are issues with light.
Can we have a look at it?
Cat Mike, can you?
From Google, whatever.
Well.
Do you
mind? No, it's fine.
Google
Maps. If you could.
Can you remember to use your microphones, please?
Yes.
Thank you. The recording doesn't pick it up.
So the proposed dwelling is to fit between this bungalow and this house.
Good Lord.
Can we have a look down on it? Can we have a look down on it?
So it's these are to be demolished, and so this is the bungalow and this is the house, and the proposed dwelling is to fit in this footprint here.
And what is it, are they demolishing?
The garages.
Oh, it's a garage, can I see?
Okay. So hang on a moment if I bring it up again. It's to demolish this, and there's another thing at the back, I believe.
So they're just wooden structures, aren't they?
Yeah, this, and there's something out the back there as well, I think. So existing site plan. Let me bring that up. So it's an outbuilding. A garage and an outbuilding and decking. It's this footprint here.
Wow.
To go
That's
in
quite
there.
Narrow, isn't it?
It's quite narrow.
Yeah. Okay, so going back to the vote, we do have a proposal and a seconder for objection on the grounds of it not fitting in with the street scene and also the impact it'll have on the neighbours, especially in terms of light. All those in favour of objection, that is unanimous, thank you very much. excuse me, planning application 240240 full, 245 Exeter Road. Right, I think I need to declare an interest here. Potentially the applicants are... It's complicated, but the parents of some people that I have played music with before, and I do know them quite well.
You know the applicant.
I'll abstain. Yes, I do know the applicant. There we go, thank you very much. It doesn't need to be complicated, does it? Keep it simple, Wibbly. So, 245 Exeter Road, Construction of a single-storey side extension, replacement garage and rear first and second floor dormer extensions. Quite agree. We have no comments from statutory consultees or representations. This again is Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy DB2, Councillor Andrew Toy.
Firstly, I have an objection. It is quite close to where I live, but it's the other side of the Holmesdown, so I can't actually see it, so it's no interest.
That's fine. So do you need, what, are you saying that because it's close to where you live, it's
I say, well, it's close, but I can't actually see it, so I don't have an interest.
No, that's fine.
So I'd say no objection.
Right, okay. And Councillor Tim Dunfer? Oh dear.
I'm sorry about this. I thought it'd be a quick one to answer. Thanks, Joe. When I, on the face of it, if you look at the size of the houses down in that bit, which are going down this little side lane, this house is on the corner of the side lane, then there's plenty of footprint there. You would say, well, they could build an extension on there, a couple of dormers or whatever. But if perhaps Ron's can bring up the proposed elevations and pictures of what will go there, I think you will see, comparing with what's there at the moment, and those houses, the existing house below is what is next door as well, then that construction, the new proposed construction, is not really mindful of that as a street scene, and there is nothing like the proposal at all in the neighbourhood. So I'm not that keen on it, I must say.
So could we just flick between Ron's? Could we just flip between what's there now and what the plan is?
Yeah, trying to find the right plan. So this is the back of it at the moment. There is a small dormer.
Yeah.
So that's the back, that's the side, and this is the proposed back and side. So it's this dormer here.
Which on the one at the bottom is the bit that's sticking out at the front and the back.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So your objection basically centres around the EB2.
EB2,
mm. Right, okay.
And the equivalent district one, yeah. D1. Mm.
Yes, yeah, so we need to start referring to that as well, don't we?
Yeah.
Does anybody else have any comments?
I think I'll second Tim. I'll second Jackson.
Just keeping it fair. You've seconded four against. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, so we have, does anybody else wish to say anything? We have a proposer and a seconder for objection on the grounds that it does not fit in with the street scene. All those in favour? All those against?
Yeah.
Yeah, all those against?
I think I've been convinced.
Okay, fair enough. And I will abstain. So, just in case it's the same, Mr. and Mrs. Watmore. So that is an objection. Thank you very much. So
did you say policy D1, Tim?
I think that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the one about design and ground street scene.
Just follow me, just hold it down. So we now move to the beautiful wall of Littleham. Planning application 2402534, 10A Portland Avenue. This is for a proposed ground floor rear extension and introduction of weatherboard cladding to a rear elevation. We have no comments from statutory consultees or representations. This is EB2 and also EB1. That development proposal should, because this is in a conservation area, it should seek to conserve heritage assets, including traditional shop fronts and historic street furniture, and also pay heed to the Exmouth Register of Historic and Architectural Features once established. Has it been established yet?
No.
Hasn't been established yet, no. So you can't pay heed to it. Okay, so, Councillor Mike Rosser.
No objection.
Councillor Graham.
Yeah, I found it a bit difficult. I've been working on the telephone all weekend, so it's always quite difficult to see these things fully. I was just slightly confused that it's gone. Has it gone from a ground floor, one ground floor extension, to having a flooring on top? Or am I? Could I just not get everything on my screen properly? I'm sorry to have to ask.
Yeah,
but it is difficult.
I think it's still a single-story extension.
Okay.
And that has actually already been approved before.
Yes.
But this is a revised application with the introduction of weatherboard. I couldn't see any difference between the two. Yeah.
Well, thank you for the clarification. As I say, it's still hard to see all the time. So I'll check Councillor Ross. I'll second Councillor Ross's objection.
Okay, thank you very much. So we have a proposal and second for approval. All those in favour, or no objection, anyone. Thank you very much. That's unanimous. Planning application 240178 TEC, which is for the green. TEC meaning the technical details consent for one new dwelling, and we have already approved the planning in principle application. Getting good at this, aren't we? So we have no comments from statutory consultees or representations, and this is Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2. Councillor Graham, DC.
Again, with a sort of restrictive view, as you say, it's already been approved in principle. It looks very much like an extension that was going to match in with what else was there. So on that ground, I can see any reason to object.
Audrey, thank you, Councillor Mike Rosser.
The Ecology Report makes recommendations for enhancing biodiversity, but it won't compensate for the destruction to biodiversity caused by clearing the ground of vegetation and the wildlife, bird life and so on that it supports. But I will agree to approval subject to the recommendations, even though they're not adequate, from the Ecology Report being implemented.
Okay, thank you. So is that within the application, the technical details application?
No, it's on the list of documents.
Can I just check that so that I can minute that correctly? Thank you.
It's a preliminary ecological assessment.
Okay. And there's recommendations in there, is there?
Yeah.
To mitigate
against the loss of biodiversity.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a proposal and a seconder for no objection, subject to the recommendations of the preliminary ecological assessment. All those in favour? Okay, thank you very much. That's unanimous. And now we move to Whibley. Town Board, planning application 240313 full. The octagon on the seafront, a proposed change of use from shop class E to cafe class E, comment B. Class E A to cafe class EB. Two side extensions and internal alterations. We have no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. This again is Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2. So what do you think, Councillor Whibley? Well, I can see people maybe not being so keen on this. The octagon is a well-established building, and people recognise it for what it is, which is eight-sided. It is an octagon. So, however, They clearly need to, you know, in terms of the change of use, I don't have a problem with that as such. And the one thing that the two small additions to it will bring to it, and I know it's not necessarily a planning consideration, but it's really useful in the town at the moment, is there will be a toilet facility. Obviously for customers, but not for, you know, not for the general public, but there is another toilet on the seafront, which is useful at the moment. I think I would like to see them change the name to Tridecagon, which is a 13-sided shape, which is what it will become. And if they did that, I'd be a lot happier. It would sit better with me because it's not an octagon anymore. I don't think I have a problem with this. I don't know its history, actually, to be fair. If anybody knows its history, I would love to hear it, because that might have a bearing on what I think. But does anybody else have any views? And feel free for them to be completely opposite of what I said. Councillor Deasy.
Thank you. Yes, one of my concerns is there is an absolute plethora of cafes along that stretch. And I don't know the history of the Octagon per se, but you know, it very much was an ice cream parlour, effectively, and postcards and sticks of rock job. I do worry about the impact on the other facilities just there. There are a number of them just along that stretch. I don't know whether that's a planning consideration. I just think that I'm actually against it, I must admit. Really on those grounds as much as I think, do we need another cafe in that situation on the seafront? Very much, I'm going on to talk against the hang time development tomorrow again, because it's a move away from a takeaway facility to a sit down facility. And I just think that the location of this is, to me, it's wrong for another cafe. That's my view.
Can I just ask if that is a planning or a change of use consideration, that there's already a large number of those businesses? Because I'm not sure it is.
I'm sure it's not.
In the free market capitalist world we live in, unfortunately.
There are tables and chairs there already outside. So, yeah, as far as I know. So people can sit outside and enjoy a drink that they've got from the takeaway hatch. So I'm guessing they're, you know, hoping to provide some modest.
Yeah. And they are looking to keep the hatch in the shop, I think, from looking at the plans. Councillor Tim Dunbar.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm pretty sure that in the old days, and I'm talking 20 years ago, then that sort of change of use could be submitted to what they called the sequential test.
Right.
And there were several of these sequential tests, but one of them was if you had reached what was called a saturation point of one particular kind of business. And if that had happened, then you could say no. Now, I'm also well aware that impending legislation or rule changes are going to cut and I think they may already have been, the number of use classes down to actually try and enable more conversion of businesses to and from residential, to and from this kind of thing. So I think it would be quite difficult. When people ask for the history of the Octagon, there are two histories. There's the early history, which I know very little about. Then there is the political history, which of course Andrew Toy and I know a considerable amount about, which happened in 2003. And so I think we don't allow that to cloud our judgment. And I would say, if I can give my opinion on this.
Yes, no, please do.
I mean, I agree with you both in theory, but in practice, I think that we need to accept that that's what's going to happen and say no objection.
Okay, Andrew?
Well, I think it was part of our heritage. It's a distinctive local landmark, a bit like the watchtower nearby. I don't think you should muck about with it, although it's not that old a building. I'm not happy to just a level, like to be extended just like that.
I mean, I think if anybody is going to object, we need to think about why in terms of planning reasons, because EB2 is, does it fit with the street scene? It's a bit of a strange thing to be thinking about that, because it isn't really a street scene. It's a sand scene, I guess. So if you think about, if anybody does want to object, if we can think about exactly why, but completely take your point, it is part of the town. We'll go to Mike and then to Andrew. Mike.
Yes, I'm not sure if I can fit an objection into that, but I think, firstly, there is an objection on the to this application from a local business owner. You didn't mention that.
It wasn't
on there when I last checked.
Well, I read it this afternoon.
Right, yeah. This was probably printed before that. And yeah. Agenda sent
me. It's appeared since I last checked.
Sorry. So.
It has appeared since Ron's last checked. Mm.
Yeah, which is basically saying that there are enough cafes there already, thank you very much. Mm. And if this is agreed, it will jeopardise other businesses locally. As I say, I don't know if that fits the planning requirements or not.
Which business do they run?
I don't know. It just says he runs a local business.
Within 10 metres of my cafe.
Mm. Must be Abbey's,
must it? Yeah.
Abbey's?
Well, there's only direct Abbey's in the
bar. Abbey's directly opposite, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, we sort of discussed that isn't really an issue.
Is the issue that, for instance, in terms of when somebody applies for an extension or whatever, they'll say we're creating jobs here. Sorry, we're having just glance read that. Is some of the concern that actually you'll be doing away with some jobs in this pocket, and yet you may be creating some over here. Now, I don't know how that fits to what Tim was saying earlier, because this is a new thing to me. Mm. But so how does one offset the other? As you say, it's the result of a decision that's going to be taken. By East Devon, there's no proof either way, it's a difficult one.
Well, all I would say is that there are many planning applications where there are claims of job creation, when in fact there's some job destruction going on as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, I guess, it may not. If we can focus on what I'm thinking is this does appear to be quite a talking point and quite controversial. If we could find something to object against it, we could send it to the district, and then they would, they would have all of the expertise to tell us whether or not we're right or not. But at this point, I don't think we can take into account the other businesses, unfortunately. And we could separate, I guess, the change of use from the two side extensions and alterations, but then ultimately they're not going to do one without the other.
I don't know if anybody can remember. When Mars and Spencer's applied for their planning permission, there was a caveat put on their cafe, wasn't there, because of the competition that it would create.
I didn't remember that.
They wanted to put it on the top floor, and it to be like a sea view sort of thing.
But I think there was also a limit on the number of covers they were allowed or something, because
I believe so.
And that was not there.
No. But I don't know how that was framed in terms of if it was conditioned. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember how it was framed. But that makes me think that competition must be acknowledged in some circumstances, otherwise they wouldn't have been able to condition it.
But that was several years ago, and quite a number of changes have taken
made
place
to the change of use.
Permitted development.
And obviously that wasn't a change of use either, it was a raw planning application,
sure.
Wasn't it?
Mm.
Thank you for the patience and interest in this.
No,
we'll just say, actually, sorry, Andrew, you've never heard from me. We'll hopefully have Amanda and then come to you, Mike. Andrew.
There's a well-known feature for experts, so I'm reluctant to support something like this. So the change in experience, I've just had a little picture of the change is fairly small. But it is on the street, it's not on the beach, but it's also on the side of the street, isn't it? So it's a crooked street. But it's going to affect a landmark in Exford, which is well known. But the question is, two lines, because it's a fairly small move, but it's going to, as I said, no longer going to be an octagon.
Yeah. Councillor Mike Ross, sir.
The two extensions, one's for a storeroom, the other's for two toilets. Mm-hmm. The storeroom seems very large for the. Why is this white crushing?
I don't know, just try pressing it on the top.
Sorry, it's me.
Right, turn on here, Mike.
Yeah, see, I mean, is it really necessary? I was wondering.
I imagine it's because the octagon itself is the storeroom at the minute. And everything that's in there will need to be stored somewhere.
If they didn't build these extensions from the toilet and the storeroom, they'd lose a few cupboards.
I couldn't comment. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's logical, isn't it? If you look at the plan, you could have the toilet inside the octagon. You could presumably have a smaller storage area. I mean, why did they need that extension for storeroom?
I couldn't comment.
Seems quite interesting. So I don't object to changing use unless, I would like to object, but if we've got reasons to, because of the effect on other businesses. Mm-hmm. Although I'd quite like to sit out there and have a coffee or whatever. I agree to the change of use, but I don't see the need for changing. It's an iconic building, it's the octagon. It's part of what Exmouth is.
Given the loss of toilet.
Don't turn it into something else.
It's not a conservation area, is it? There's no. Is there any legislation? We're sort of fighting here. There's no listing. There's no. Because we know it's an Exmouth monument and it's a thing people talk about and a thing people remember, but there's no planning or historical or listing of it reason of for us to be able to say that, is there? I don't think.
Well, just looking up the committee report from when the food store at Marks and Spencer's was approved, it said the net sales of any ancillary customer cafe shall not exceed 50 square metres. And the reason was in order to maintain the vitality and viability of Exmouth Town Centre and to accord with policies E9 and E11 of the East Devon Local Plan. So I don't know what E9 and E11 is of the local plan, but that might be your hinge. That might be.
You would struggle to reduce the size of that by anything, or
no? But I'm just wondering what those policies are. E9 and E11. Let's have a look.
Town centre vitality. It's not in town
centre,
is it?
No.
What about
what's the 11?
Excitement. No.
Large stores and retail. No.
Okay. I think it's fair to say we haven't got a. Okay, should we have a vote? Let's just go for it. So, proposer, and just to move things forward, I will second. No, I propose, you second. No objection, and we'll see where we get with that. So it's proposed and seconded for no objection. All those in favour? All those against?
Oh, it's strong.
Bearing that in mind, I would say if you could write in your notes very strongly that we looked for reasons to object to this because we feel that it's part of Exmouth's heritage, although we couldn't find any reasons, and if we could have done, we would have, you know, we would have objected. So we do feel, and I think we all do, even those of us who said that we I'm saying I can't object rather than I don't object, I think. And actually, you can write that down, that's good. But it is, yeah, we're not just, so if you put all of that in there and just yeah, say.
Do you want me to say it about the concern that it's part of Exmouth heritage, but also about the impact on other businesses on the area, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you could say quite strongly so that, you know, and hopefully they won't just say no objection and move on. Hopefully they'll read what we've actually said.
Can we add the point that, you know, it could be used as a, it could change the use, but you don't need to have extensions on the side. You could just simply lose a few covers.
You can add that.
The octagon shape.
And what I will also do is I will write to the chair of planning at East Devon, Eileen, get her to make sure that she gives this some attention so that she can see what we said, and I'll just go no objection. Cool. Yeah. I think. So I bearing that in mind, I will say we have no objection, but we will get Ron's to add all of that because that's all we can do, I think. And I don't want to have a business in Exmouth called the Tri-Decker Gun. Although it might fit well with the dinosaurs, the Tri-Decker Saw. Anyway, so moving on, with the Camaraderie we have no applications and we have none from Woodbury and Lidston, the adjoining parish.
I have one that came through.
Oh.
Did Sam, is it?
None of us have seen it.
No, okay. I don't know what the deadline was.
Let's hope it's 15 days' time.
Another. Lucy Tyrrell emailed me, who's the clerk to Limpstone. She emailed me and said that there was an application that they would be discussing. This one. Pine Hollow, Holland Road.
Oh, right.
The expiry date's the 15th of March.
Okay, that's fine. We have to be there. So,
when's the next meeting?
That's more than 15. Yeah, that's fine. We can do that by then.
Mm. We've not been consulted by East Devon, though.
No, she's just said. Yeah, Pine Hollow, Holland Road.
So that's at the top of Holland Road, I assume.
Yeah,
that's
don't know. Anyway,
that's fine. Though, so we can put that on next time if we need to.
I think I've already forwarded it to you, Ron.
Okay, what number is that?
240335
Okay.
240335
four.
Yeah, I think it's at the top of Holland Road. So, and if it's something significant in the adjoining parish, we ask about it.
Yes.
Sometimes. I'm sure we don't every time.
Something to you last Wednesday.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, but we can discuss that next time. Other items. We had notification of a street trading application for the Morris Minor Rally. The application is for, it's on the Imperial Recreation Ground, for King George's Fifth Planning Fields to satisfy some people. The Imperial Rally Ground. Two trading stores to include one catering unit for the Morris Minor Classic Car Rally to raise money for the air ambulance. The applicant has noted the following on their application: there'll be no lighting or heating on site other than in one of the trading units run on a generator. Vehicle engines will be off and stationary whilst on site. Packaging, disposable cups, plates, etc. will be recyclable and or biodegradable. and we also have the application with the agenda. There were documents that accompanied it, which were 2 months of the training site. We don't need to comment necessarily unless we feel strongly every year this. It's a successful event that people enjoy visiting. Does anybody have any comments at all?
Should look forward to seeing a few more spiders.
Absolutely. It was a lot more than what it was. Every car that you could imagine, obviously, they run it and they have a big part of it, but it's quite impressive.
Because we recently had a presentation for the Sea Scouts. I wonder all these events that happen on that site, do they have any impact on the Sea Scouts? I'm sure this one won't.
I think they're fairly around the periphery of it, aren't they? And they meet in the evenings, I think. And they're not down there yet. And this happens every year, so I think if it did, they would say something. But it's a fair point.
I don't know if they're consulted. Because I know when applications are put in for events in Manor Gardens, for example, I know that Bumble and Bee are automatically consulted because of the potential impact on their business. But I don't know if the Scouts are consulted for events on the rec. I don't know.
And there's a few businesses as well on the road on the way in, they might.
Yeah,
so at the water sports company.
Don't know.
But okay, so no comment on that. I'm happy. I think I've said to East End I'm happy to support them. Agenda item 8, notams for item cake. Items for information. Appeal notification. This was for 21 Marple Hill, the formation of a new access and associated development. That appeal has been lodged.
That was the one for the drop curb that required planning permission because it was onto a categorised, a classified road, and it was refused and it's been appealed.
So they have appealed. Can you imagine a dropped curb going to the Secretary of State? How massive then? Who knows? The notification of tree preservation orders. There are some trees which have been made of some of 5 Cypress Road, 32 Churchill Road, 15 Holston Avenue, and the land south of there, and land at Mare Bay Court, 12 Douglas Avenue. The planning decisions. One Exeter Road, this was the dental surgery that we objected to, I think, because there was a change of use, wasn't it?
Resulting in a loss of facilities.
Yeah, but he said disagreed. 16 Windsor Square, I finally able to knock down a small piece of wall and put in an electric car charger. That seems like that's been going on for some time. That's conditional approval. And 31 Churchill Road, we objected, but East Devon approved. I can't remember what that one was.
That was the fence, wasn't it?
Oh, that was the huge fence, yeah. So, which we've heard, huge fences, duly noted. So thank you very much for coming, and thank you for what was an enjoyable and lively and very pleasurable discussion. Thank you. Goodbye.